And we're back. We are back. Automatic rewind. It's been a hot minute. 11th episode. We're reviewing Days of Thunder. And of course, Cousin Bailey is with me. How's it going, cousin?
Thank you, Gus. I'm doing great, man. We've had some hiccups along the way, tragedies and timing, et cetera, et cetera. One of us was sick.
I think we were both
voice
sick.
Gone.
Oh, yeah, no, that was, I lost my voice for probably two weeks. I sounded like RFK Jr., which was awesome. If anybody
That's great,
knows,
man.
I know he's got a voice issue disease thing, but
we're not making fun of him.
No, but I sounded just like him.
And that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I lost a family member on my mother, on my wife's side. So we were out of commission. She was out of commission for a while. And so I was not only solo parenting, but then up in Mississippi for a good week and not a good week, but a week. And and then we had the Cousin Bailey crawfish boil, which you were present at.
I think I was.
We had a blast.
It was great, as were the crawfish, even though there's a shortage now, right?
Yeah, well, in a nutshell, there was a terrible drought that caused a lot of problems, and the season didn't even really start until about, the beginning of February, which was freaking me out because, you know, I've got to buy X number of pounds of crawfish. And like on our drive home from Mississippi, I got a call from Louisiana Crawfish Company, and they should sponsor me because I love them. They were like, you can order now online. And so we made a little pit stop. You know, my wife took the kids in to get some food, you know, lunch. And I was just sitting on my phone, ordered the crawfish. Everything was great. The price was insane. I mean, I'm talking like double what it normally is. So that was unhappy. That made me unhappy. But, you know, the relief of having the order made was great. And they were smaller than usual, as it is the beginning of the season. But super tender, super tasty. I made some etouffee with the leftovers.
Nice.
Yeah, it was a great time. I could go on and on.
Well, I definitely had my... Wow, speaking of RFK Jr. No, I definitely had my fill of crawfish as well as alcohol.
Oh, yeah.
So there was no shortage of that. That's for sure.
No, I'll tell you this much, though. Like that morning, I woke up and went to the store and got two more cases of beer. And I'll tell you, if we didn't eat every last one of them.
Yeah.
I think
I remember at one point I looked over and I'm like, where's the beer? And you're like, oh, I got it. I got another case. Hang on.
Yeah. I was expecting, I asked the Brazilian ladies who were helping to kind of give me a heads up, but they don't speak English and I don't speak Portuguese. So there was a language barrier because I would love to have like kind of put a case in as there was like half a case left kind of thing. But instead we just went straight to warm beer. But hey, at that point,
but you had plenty of ice too. You put them on the bottom, you cover them up. They're cold in 10 minutes. They're drinkable in 10 minutes.
Oh, absolutely. We were loving life.
And there wasn't only beer there. So you could have a different type of drink to hold you over until the beer got cold. It was good.
Yeah. And I mean, I've been drinking that bourbon ever since.
There you go.
Yeah.
I like it. Well, speaking of drinks, before we get too far down the road, what you drinking, cuz?
Well, in honor of Rusty Wallace, I'm drinking a Miller Lite. Is Days of Thunder. This is leftover from the party. This is the last one of these. But I'll be drinking a cornucopia of beers this evening because, as I said, there are a few left. I've got some bourbon. I thought, hey, what would Rusty do? How about you?
Well, I'm drinking Guinness.
Hi, Guinness. It's quite the month for that.
I'll probably continue drinking Guinness throughout the night. Maybe I'll switch. I don't know. I think I have some Miller Get Right in the fridge, but I'll probably keep it with Guinness. Mrs. Gus and I will be heading over across the pond to Ireland at the end of April.
The Emerald
so
Isle.
As soon as we book the tickets, I've just been drinking Guinness. Granted, it's not as good out of the can as it is from the tap. And from what I've heard, it's not as good as in Ireland. So I'll be looking forward to some.
I guess you'll have to let us know.
I'll let you know. Hopefully we'll record an episode or two before I take off, but yeah.
That'd be nice. I have a question for you, because and I'll keep this short, but this is kind of a getting to know you segment of the show. You love the drop of the Scottish whiskey. Now, how do you feel about Irish whiskey?
Not a fan. No.
Oh dear.
But I'll say this: my experience, I'm not very experienced in Irish whiskey. Beyond the shots of Jameson, I pretty much have it, and I think that's probably why. I don't think I've drank a good Irish whiskey, right? Like it's just been, you know. And I remember doing Irish car bombs with your mom at your college graduation. Heyo,
heyo.
That was a good time. Good time. But no, so I think that's. I've only had Jameson. What's the other one? There's another one.
There's Bushmills. And
haven't
then,
had Bushmills, but I don't think that's probably a good one either.
There's this one, and I don't know the exact name, but it's like there's with a green dot on it, and there's a
starts with a T.
I don't know. My brother-in-law, for a while, he is an expert in multiple types of brown liquor, and from tequila to Irish whiskey to bourbon and beer for that matter. But he sometimes will bring over a bottle of nice Irish whiskey, and it is, I'll tell you, I like Jameson on the rocks. It's yes, because before I discovered that it's possible to drink whiskey on the rocks, our New Yorker friend used to buy us warm shots of Jameson whenever we'd go to an Irish bar. And he'd be like, "Yo, cousin Bailey, here's a shot." And so, you know, that would make me sick. So that was not a good exposure. That was not a good exposure to Irish whiskey. But I've had good Irish whiskey. I like it. But I can even drink Jameson on the rocks, cold. I like things cold. What's wrong?
Yeah, no. But
anyways,
sounds good. So, friend of the show, every once in a while a guest. Malt Liquor, he spent some time in Ireland.
Ooh, did he know?
Yeah, it was just a vacation. It wasn't like extended. He didn't live there or anything. No. But he's been giving me some good tips, and he knows my style of whiskey. And he said, "Hey, you should try this and go to this place because they have more of the whiskeys that you would like." So I'll probably check out some of the places that he shared. He also said, I was texting with him earlier tonight. Told him we would be doing Days of Thunder, and he's like, "Are you drinking Bush Heavy?" And I'm like, "No, but I probably should have been."
No,
even crossed my mind.
You know, it's lucky I found these Miller Lights because I was like, this would, you know, I know I drank Bush Heavy, I think during when we did Jaws, and that would have been appropriate. But I heard a funny story, a quick story. Do you know who Steve Versnick is? He's the producer for the Rick Stroud show.
Yep.
He was telling a story about how they went to, I think, Talladega, and they were hanging out and talking with like this guy, and he was kind of giving them the ins and outs of NASCAR, and everything was wonderful. And then he opened his cooler and pulled out, I want to say, either a Bud Light or a Coors Light or something like that. And once the guy saw that beer, he presumed that Steve and his wife had a preference on drivers because of the alcohol beverage they were drinking, due to the sponsorship.
Right.
The guy didn't talk to them the rest of the race because he presumed they were like, you know, Jeff Gordon fans or something, like whoever was riding the Coors Light car or something like that. But it was just like, that was it. So like the nicest guy in the world turn on his heel because of loyalty in NASCAR, which, you know, I mean, it's funny. I kind of like make fun of that and joke a little bit, but I mean, what, there's no difference with that. And like in a particular college football team or pro football team.
Yeah.
You know, just because these people are a little bit more shirtless.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're less, you know, that they're any, you know, below us on the fandom scale.
Right. Definitely.
No.
So let's get into the movie a little bit.
Obviously
Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, Robert Duvall. We'll probably get to even more of the cast that was there. Yeah. Just incredible cast. Tony Scott directing it. Jerry Bruckheimer. You know, it's action packed.
Do you mind if I just run down a couple movies from Tony Scott? I just want everyone in the audience to know who we're referring to, because Tony Scott, the brother of Ridley Scott, who was the director of Alien, and among other things, of course, but and Gladiator.
Yeah, he did Gladiator.
He did Gladiator. Yeah. But Tony Scott was like, I feel like almost all of his movies are like just a notch below that grandness, you know, of his brother. Like Top Gun probably is about as grand a movie as he's done, I'd say, because you've also got True Romance, which was written by Quentin Tarantino, which is phenomenal. Beverly Hills Cop 2, which some people like don't even consider it on par with Beverly Hills Cop 1. And I do. I like Beverly Hills Cop 2 quite a bit. This next movie is a personal favorite of mine, and I hope one day to get you drunk enough to be willing to do it. But The Last Boy Scout, starring Damon Wayans and Bruce Willis, it is just a quintessential 90s Bruce Willis movie that must be watched and enjoyed. My wife falls asleep every time I put it on, but I stay awake. Crimson Tide.
Oh yeah, great movie.
Yeah, yeah. The Fan.
Are you familiar with it? I've seen it. I don't remember it.
It's a hard watch. I figured it's appropriate to bring up. I could have left it off this list just because of the fact that it's fairly obscure, but
well, it's De Niro and it's Snipes. I mean,
and Wesley Snipes.
Know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's one of those movies. I guarantee if you ask 10 people in the street, three of them would have heard of it max, you know,
right.
But given the nature of the time of year, I thought The Fan, you know, baseball season's right around the corner. Enemy of the State.
Oh, great movie.
Spy Game and Man on Fire. Yeah.
Spy Game is in my top five movies ever.
Whoa. I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
I saw this movie at what is now Sundial, formerly Baywalk, with my dad, and we were both just blown away by it. You know?
Yeah.
Huge fans. I love it. Bought
Catherine
it.
Catherine McCormick.
Et cetera, et cetera. Catherine McCormick. We mentioned her in Gladiator, in Braveheart, of course.
Yes, we did.
She played Merrin.
Merrin.
Quite well, I'd say. Well, I don't know why I said that in an Irish accent, but once the clock turns March, oi, I have an Irish lilt my wife loves. Doesn't it all get annoyed by? But you were right. Tom Cruise, Nicole Kidman, Robert Duvall, Randy Quaid, Cary Elwes, and Michael Rooker. You may know him as, he was in, some people have seen Guardians of the Galaxy. He was also played one of the rednecks in The Walking Dead. He was in Mallrats. He's been in a shitload of stuff.
JFK. I loved his character in JFK.
Yes.
He was great in JFK.
And I know I'm missing something really like mind blowing, that stupid that I missed it, but he's just a kind of like an everyman actor. Like he's not everyman, but like he's a kind of a that guy actor. He's been in so many movies. Huge fan though. Huge fan. But I mean, you ain't lying, man. And this was produced by Jerry Bruckheimer. And yes. And I think the score was Hans Zimmer. I mean, it was just
Yeah.
Yeah. And this movie did poorly at the box office and actually severed ties between Bruckheimer and Paramount.
Well, didn't they make $150 million?
I don't know. It opened up poorly. I don't know the exact numbers. I just know that it was below budget that Paramount demanded money from producer Don Simpson and Jerry Bruckheimer. So, Not a good
great.
Look. Yeah. There were some cameos. I don't know if I'll just run these down real quick because I'm sure our audience will love this. We got to put NASCAR as a hashtag in the title. Richard Petty, Rusty Wallace, Jerry Punch,
Dr. Jerry Punch.
Yes, yes. So, you know, I mean, among others, I mean, there's a bunch of other ones, but those are the big dogs.
Yeah, this film didn't get any awards. It was nominated for one Oscar, and that was Best Sound.
Sure.
So there was that. Richard Petty was in this film, and Richard Petty absolutely hated it.
Yeah.
He said they got two things right. Two things right about NASCAR. One, there's numbers on the car, and two, those cars go fast. He's that's all they got right. So
that's too bad. This has been my my dictionary for NASCAR for all these years. I'm really sorry to hear that. Probably explains why by people every time I talk about NASCAR, you gotta don't say Rubbin is racing.
That's right. Don't say it. It's not true. Apparently, I don't know.
I don't know. I just presume if everything's false about this movie.
This is what I think about NASCAR. He's making a left turn. He's making another left turn.
I'll tell you, it's worth watching the beginning and the end and the highlights because it gets exciting. You know?
No, it does. Yeah.
Enjoy a car race, but I don't think I've ever gone to one. I've been to like Indy races. Obviously, we have one in here in St. Petersburg. And I went to down in South Florida, whatever that's called.
Homestead?
Homestead.
Did you go to the NASCAR or the IndyCar there?
IndyCar.
IndyCar, yeah. They used to start their season in down there, but now I think they start it here. It used to be Homestead then here. And now I think it's here.
They definitely have started it here. I don't know if they still do because I know they were fighting with something else. But I think you're right just because it's pretty early in the year.
Yeah, because it used to be Homestead. IndyCar would start in Homestead and NASCAR would finish in Homestead.
Yeah.
So.
And NASCAR starting in Daytona 500. Daytona every year.
Daytona.
At the 500. And that was something else about this movie. I know we don't go linear in this podcast, so I don't mind saying this, but the when I was a kid, not understanding like that they do multiple races at certain tracks with different names. And also, you know, they call like Indy 500 the Super Bowl of motorsports, or is that the Indianapolis 500? But regardless, it is considered to be like a crowning achievement for a racer in NASCAR to win the Daytona 500. Yet it's the first race of the year. And this movie doesn't really lend itself to explaining that to someone like who's maybe a little too young to pick up on certain subtleties about how long it's been from the final race that Rowdy and, you know, that they were involved in to now Daytona. Like I was just like, well, this movie is only 2 hours long or whatever. It's only been a couple races. No, it's been like 4 months or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that makes a lot more sense as you got older.
Yeah.
Like Rowdy's decline. And what we're referring to is Rowdy and at the Firecracker 400.
Right.
Pepsi 400, whatever, the Coca-Cola for the Coke Zero 400. They called it all these different things, but Daytona has a midsummer race. And according to this movie, they got in a huge accident and they both like suffered brain damage or whatever. Their brains were damaged, but Cole healed up. Rowdy did not. And he was about to lose his ride, but he needed someone to ride and finish well at Daytona. The beginning of the year. In order for his sponsor to pay for, you know, his contract out. It was just crazy.
Yeah.
Like I said, I didn't understand that growing up. It makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah, absolutely. So this movie also, it's where Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman started their relationship.
Yep.
They did three movies. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, no, I was going to say, I mean, I'm sure you know this, of course, but because I was expecting to read during our research that I don't want to say got her the job, but like wanted her because they were dating. But in reality, he was suggested to watch that movie Dead Calm.
Yes.
And that what she was in, she was awesome. That's a fairly terrifying thriller. I've watched it before. I think Billy Zane and Sam Elliott.
The guy from Jurassic Park.
Yeah, Sam. Not Sam Elliott. Sam Neill.
Neill. Yes.
It's another first name.
Yeah.
Last name, first name. Sam Neill, great guy, seemingly. Peaky Blinders. Anyways, he. But she was in that. Tom Cruise loved it. Okayed it. There's like a number of ladies who you probably are going to mention this, but there's a number of ladies who. Turned this role down. Did you see that? No.
I did not. I did not find that in my research. I didn't find any recasting in my research. Maybe because I didn't look, but
only a couple. But this was fairly significant that all of these people turned down the role. So Kim Basinger,
wow,
Sandra Bullock, Allison Duty, who you know
from
Temple of Doom. I mean, from The Last
yeah,
Crusade.
Last Crusade, yeah. And Major
I love
League
her.
2.
And Major League 2. She was maybe that's why you don't like her. She's a
No,
total biatch.
I think she's the worst of all the Indiana Jones.
Okay, you're absolutely
leading
out of your
ladies.
mind. And I love Kate Capshaw. So let's just chill. Allison Duty was so freaking hot. Yeah,
hopefully
no, okay,
I don't
look.
See her. Hopefully I don't see her when I'm in Ireland. Okay.
Listen, if she's a like that, she played a Nazi. If that's a concern of yours, I get it. Okay. Anyways,
No,
I don't want to
that
answer
was not
that.
A concern. No.
Jodie Foster, Sarah Jessica Parker, Madonna, Heather Locklear, Michelle Pfeiffer. I'm not done. I mean, listen to this: Molly Ringwald, Julia Roberts, Meg Ryan, Brooke Shields, Sharon Stone, and Ali Sheedy. All turned down the role of Claire Lewicki. Now, some of these ladies are different than others. You know, I'd probably put Jodie, Molly Ringwald, and Ali Sheedy in a different category than I would Kim Basinger, Madonna, Heather Locklear, Sarah Jessica Parker to a point. Michelle Pfeiffer. Can you imagine Michelle Pfeiffer in the 90s? 90? Oh, man.
I've never been a fan.
You've never been a fan of Michelle Pfeiffer? All right. Have you seen Scarface?
Too many times to count.
Okay. Have you seen Batman Returns or whatever the second Batman?
Yeah, where she's Catwoman.
She was so hot in that.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Grease 2.
No, I've seen Grease 2, but I don't remember it.
Wolf with Jack Nicholson. These are off the top of my head. I mean, I'm sure she's in a... Oh, my God. What about What Lies Beneath? Thriller.
Yeah.
Harrison Ford.
Yeah,
right,
I know.
Fine.
I've seen that. I'm not like I'm just not a Michelle Pfeiffer fan. I'm not a Nicole Kidman fan.
You see her nipple in this movie, as I recall. So I think there's a
still not a
side boob at least.
Yeah.
That's not enough to move the needle though, huh?
No.
So to speak.
But you know, give me Kim Basinger. Give me
Kim
Sandy
Basinger?
Bullock.
What about Heather Locklear? How'd you feel
back,
about her?
Back then?
Yeah, of
yes.
course.
Yes.
Meg Ryan back then, Julia Roberts back then, Brooke Shields, Sharon Stone back then.
Oh, Sharon Stone. Brooke Shields back then, yeah.
Wait, what'd you say about Sharon Stone?
Sharon, 100%
yeah.
Sharon
Yeah,
Stone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100%.
Yeah. Basic Instinct is a well-done movie.
Yeah. The Meg Ryan.
Yes.
If we're just talking about acting, I don't think she could have pulled that role off.
No.
I don't see her being able to, and maybe it's just because of how she's been cast, but being, you know, Dr. Lewicki was a very strong person in
totally.
This, and I don't see Meg Ryan pulling that off.
I've seen her strong, but in different circumstances in movies. But yeah, she's a little more bubbly.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with that. Like, you've got male Meg Ryan and French Kiss Meg Ryan. Those are my Meg Ryans.
Okay. When Harry Met Sally?
When Harry Met Sally Meg Ryan. That's my Meg Ryan right there.
Okay.
I didn't see Sleepless in Seattle. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I haven't seen that either.
But I mean, You've Got Mail, I think, is basically the internet version of that movie, from what I understand.
Armed and Dangerous Meg Ryan.
Armed and Dangerous Meg Ryan is...
That's fantastic.
That's a great call. That's a great, great call.
Yeah.
Wasn't she in that Courage Under Fire movie?
She was.
I mean, in flashbacks, as I recall.
Yeah, because they were investigating or trying to justify her getting an award. I don't know if it was the Medal of Honor or...
It was the Medal of Honor.
Yeah, so, yeah, there was that. She was in, and it just flashed in my head, and now it's gone. Inner Space.
Mm-hmm.
She's in a lot of movies I like.
She was in the aforementioned Top Gun.
That's right. She was in Top Gun. She
played Goose's wife.
Goose's wife.
So maybe that was a little weird, you know?
Yeah.
People may not have been able to reconcile that because it was 4 years later. She's now banging Maverick.
Hmm. Yeah.
Would have been a little much.
Different movie.
Psychologically.
Yeah. Okay.
Unconsciously, people maybe.
So do you think this is Top Gun of NASCAR?
I think so.
You think this is the same movie?
I think there are some beats. That's the way I describe it to people, mostly in order to convince them to watch it. Like
okay.
My dad, for example, he's already seen it, but like, you know, I was making this big production when we were on vacation over New Year's, and I felt like maybe I was controlling the television a little more than I should have, but it was my Prime account. So, you know, people are, you know, having to watch what I want to watch. But that's how I described it. And I think most people were not disappointed in that description and didn't think that I over or undersold it. I think that, I mean, it hits a lot of the similar beats. Disgraced-ish guy. Not disgraced-ish, but like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like Tom Cruise, he's, you know, he's got a reputation in both, in a sense. Correct. You know, his dad has got some sort of, you know, he's got the specter of his father in some capacity weighing over his head. There's an accident, you know, he's got to mend fences and things. He doesn't become like the NASCAR champion or anything like that, but he does do something awesome. You know, he has a down, you know, like any movie, though. I mean, he has a downfall. In this particular one, he has like an emotional and physical downfall. Like he can't. Oh, remember like when driving, he blows the engine?
Yes.
Well, I mean, you know, that wasn't much different than him like spacing out, you know, in the F-15. Let me a little different, like hundreds of millions of dollars different. But you understand what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
So
by the way, did you forget to mention Fred Thompson?
I did. Big John. Sorry about that. Senator.
Fred Thompson.
I know. I'm a huge Fred Thompson fan. Hunt for Red October, Die Hard 2. These are movies that are not on everybody's. Well, Die Hard. I mean, Hunt for Red October is on a lot of people's top lists, but Die Hard 2 gets overlooked sometimes, even though it's fabulous.
Is Feds on the top of people's list?
I don't know. I'm not.
Are you serious?
God, I don't know. It's a movie podcast. Don't admit you don't know a movie.
I do it all the time. It's okay.
I know. I'm joking. What is Feds? I may need to
Feds. This is Fred Thompson. He's an FBI instructor and
what?
Rebecca De Mornay.
What?
She's learning how, or she's in the FBI Academy.
This sounds fabulous.
It's great. It's a great movie.
Is it a drama?
It's kind of a comedy. So Rebecca De Mornay's sidekick was a comedian. I can't remember her name, but she was on SNL in the 80s, maybe in the early 90s. She wasn't on SNL for a long time. I can't remember her name, but that's her sidekick.
It's Mary Gross is her name. Yeah. Yeah. No, I remember her. She's in a lot of movies. She's in a TV show called Heart of Dixie, which my wife made me watch, which I actually ended up enjoying. But there's Fred. Huh. Thanks. R.I.P. man. Love that guy.
It's great.
Oh, man. He was in No Way Out. You remember that movie?
No Way Out. I know I've seen
Kevin Costner.
Uh-huh.
And Gene Hackman is the Secretary of Defense, and Kevin Costner is kind of brought on to be a liaison between the Navy and the Secretary of Defense, all while they're all looking for a potential Russian spy named Yuri, who has infiltrated the whatever. Will Patton is in it.
Wow, I have not seen this movie. I need to check this one out. It sounds like it's right up my alley.
And I'm purposefully not saying a word about anything, because once you've seen the whole thing, it's very usual suspects-y. You know, it's kind of like you can't look at it the same way.
Right.
So, but I love it. I would recommend the shit out of that movie. Oh, he's in Cape Fear. Sorry to keep. Anyways, I don't know if you've seen Cape Fear, but
I've seen it once. That's actually on my list to watch again.
It's I mean, the old one's really good. The one from like the 50s or 60s. It's got Gregory Peck. Yeah. Gregory Peck and Robert Mitchum. But the first one I saw is way more intense. Robert De Niro plays bad guy very well.
Yeah. Young Juliette Lewis.
Yeah, who I don't know if we're going to have our signals crossed again here, but I'm not a fan. I was a fan in Strange Days.
Okay.
For obvious reasons. But what about you? I mean, what's your take on Juliette Lewis? She's not in this movie, by the way.
I think that she has gotten better as she got older.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So there is, so she was okay in old school.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, she was all right in that. But there was a movie that my wife made me watch called Catch and Release.
Okay.
It's with Jennifer Garner, Timothy Oliphant,
Oh, well.
and Kevin, he did Mallrats, Kevin Smith.
Smith.
There's, I think, some other famous people in it. But yeah, Juliette Lewis is in that. I thought that was probably her best performance.
Sure.
So, yeah,
Have
I
you seen
think
Strange Days?
I have not.
I recommend it. It's
Okay.
good. It's totally moot at this point. It's about the turn of the century, 99 to 2000.
Oh, okay.
Way more technologically advanced. It's, you know who it's directed by? God bless me for not knowing this. Her name, she did Point Break and The Hurt Locker.
Oh,
I know you know who I'm talking about.
what's her name?
Oh, God damn it.
I can't remember.
I know. She's fabulous though. And this movie I love. It's got Ralph Fiennes in it, Tom Sizemore,
Oh,
Angela
okay.
Bassett, Juliette Lewis. You know that guy from Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, who plays the cousin with that messed up voice. Speaking of messed up voices, he talks like this. Anyways.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, whatever. I know I'm gonna know her name as soon as I see it. Catherine Bigelow.
There you go.
Yeah. It's Strange Days. That is dark and weird. It's worth it. Anyways, maybe we should talk about the movie we came here to talk about. I
Well,
don't
we've been
know.
talking about it. I don't know. We've been talking about it. So I got another question.
I'm just messing around.
I got another question, and this was kind of a revelation to me while watching this again. Is this Randy Quaid's best dramatic performance?
Give me another one of his. What's another one of his dramatic performances?
Now I gotta look it up.
Yeah.
Kingpin.
Is that dramatic? He did great in Kingpin. Convinced the shit out of me he was an Irish pussy. Or not
Irish.
Irish, Amish. Amish.
Amish.
Good God. Sorry about that, lads. All right, Randy Quaid. Let's see where you
Randy
at, lad.
Quaid. I don't see anything here that would be like, yeah, like.
I mean, obviously, playing Cousin Eddie was
Cousin Eddie, I
like,
mean, yeah, that's classic.
it's untouchable because of he's so obnoxious. But Kingpin, great. I mean, he's completely lost his mind now, from what I understand. Is that your impression?
I would, yeah.
You put it that way?
I'd put it that way. Was Quick Change? Nah, Quick Change was a comedy. It's Bill Murray.
Yeah, it's a comedy. I guess, I mean, there's no other way of saying it, but sure. I mean,
Yeah, this is. It's got to be his best, right?
yeah, it's got to be
Yeah.
his best. But he does a really good job. I mean, I would not have looked at him going, this guy's going to lose his mind. Oh, Independence Day. I know that's not it's an action movie, but he does it. He plays crazy in that pretty well. I like that movie. It gets a lot of bad. I know
Okay.
it's not. I mean, it's not. I mean, I understand. It's not any good. Just enjoy it. Anyways, Parents. That was a movie I never watched when I was a kid. Have you heard of that with Randy
No.
Quaid's in it? This kid comes to find out that his parents are cannibals.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that I just, the box art was like them over a piece of meat about to cut it, you know, and that scared me. Growing up, like I could never even look at that title without having a potential nightmare that night. So, a Blockbuster or whatever, Suncoast Video.
Suncoast Video.
So, I mean, we're kind of burying the lead here. Robert Duvall, my God,
Oh man,
that man.
fantastic. The only thing about him in this movie, he always does something with his tongue. Like, I know
Yeah.
the listeners can't see it, but he always does something with his tongue. I'm like, I don't know what that is, but otherwise, it's classic Robert Duvall. The guy's fantastic, fantastic
Yes.
actor.
I know I don't want to go into goofs right away. Well, I'm gonna. Did you see how there was a part where I think it's later on in the movie and Cole has already explained to him that he doesn't understand anything about cars. He
Cars,
doesn't
right.
understand the lingo. And so they decide that they're going to do it their way. Like they're going to, you know, he's going to like reteach him basically how to drive. So he says, drive my way, drive your way. And they do like 100 laps each way and to find out which way is better. Better on the tires, better on the car, better, you know, results. So it's kind of a little montage of like him teaching him like what about racing, like what this means, you know, like when the car is loose, when the car is tight, you know, you're going twice as fast, but you're losing control, et cetera, et cetera. And so the there's a scene where Harry is talking to him. He's wearing one of those old the game, I think, hats. They had like the circle and then the name of the school written in cursive, kind of diagonally. Well, one time is Georgia. It's a pristine white hat with the Georgia version of the logo. And in the next scene, it's the University of Florida, go Gators. And then it goes back to, it's theoretically supposed to be the same day, but they missed that detail. Like one time it's Georgia, one time it's Florida. I think it went back to Georgia. And I mean, I love it because at one point he's wearing a Gator hat, you know, so that was lovely, but.
No, I didn't catch that. That's
not many people do. You have to be kind of psycho to catch that.
Yeah.
Like me.
Well, I mean, you know, just on some of the goofs too, where they were showing stock video of the stock cars.
Yeah.
The cars that were being raced in the movie were not on the track.
No.
So.
I think the car they were trying to pass off as his was like tan and red or something. And, you know, he had like a completely different color scheme.
Yeah, well, he had three cars, right? He raced three cars.
He had three at one, three at three different times.
The city Chevrolet car.
Then he had. I love that.
Yeah, he had the Superflow car, and then Mellow Yellow.
Mellow Yellow, God, badass hats. I mean, since we're jumping around, so Rowdy had been driving an Exxon car.
That's correct. Yeah,
and then in order for him to keep his sponsorship, Cole had to drive his car.
That's right.
And his car was a Mellow Yellow sponsored car now at the end?
Yes, you are correct.
So what is that? So does that mean that Mellow Yellow was going to be Rowdy's new sponsor for the 1991 season?
I guess.
Okay. So that you don't know either? Okay, good.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how the whole sponsorship works. If
neither do I. Oof.
You know, I don't follow NASCAR. I don't follow racing at all. So
no.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
I mean, like when I was a kid growing up, I watched a lot of Formula One and there was a lot of consistency you know, you knew what the Benetton car was, you knew what the Ferrari car was, you knew what the Williams Renault car was. I mean, you knew all this shit about just the way it looked. But now he's driving an Exxon car and now he's driving a Mellow Yellow car.
Mellow Yellow actually paid for that, by the way, to be featured.
Well, God bless them. Mellow Yellow's got a great color scheme.
They do. I don't think they're around anymore, but
what? They're not?
I don't know. Didn't they discontinue? I have no clue.
What's the other one? Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew, yeah. So Mellow Yellow was first.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Mellow Yellow paid to have that car as advertisement. And then I guess in the commercials, and they did like a whole campaign where they were promoting the movie and Mellow Yellow at the same time.
Got it. Well, good for them.
Yeah.
And
they saw a significant increase in sales apparently. So,
I mean, I don't want to say cutting edge shit, but that's like not unsmart. Cause I mean, I remember when James Bond movies started doing that, you know, like Heineken this, Heineken that.
Yeah.
I'm talking mostly beverages here, but you know, I mean, you know, Coca-Cola, one of the most famous product placement bungles was M&M's refusing to let ET use M&M's. So they used Reese's Pieces. And they saw like a huge jump up in sales, Reese's Pieces. I mean, they're delicious.
They are.
Who doesn't like peanut butter? Anyways, my son.
Gus.
That's two right there. We just named two.
Yeah.
Well, fuck it. But okay. I liked the city. Oh, you know what? While we're talking about the sponsorships. So Hendrix, you know, what's his name? Robert Hendrix or whatever. The owner of Hendrix Racing now, based out of Charlotte. I think they were trying to say that Randy Quaid's character was based on him because he owned a dealership in Charlotte as well. Mr. Hendrix. And he's now, you know, like a billionaire race car owner.
Yep.
Hendrix Racing is, you know, is probably one of the most famous names, you know, owners at this point, I'd say. But so that, you know, so but I think it's his dealership was called City.
Correct. Yeah.
And so, you know, and then Superflow is an actual product.
Yes, it is.
So they got themselves a sponsor after he won Darlington.
Down at Darlington.
Then
they got him that very nice.
I'll tell you,
state trooper.
I love that. I love that scene so much.
Was that a fake? Was that fake there? I mean, that he looked very his well weapon? Endowed.
Yeah, yeah, no, it has to be. It has to be,
right? Because I mean, Tom Cruise is
unless he was like sporting a, you know what, a Woodrow at the time. Like, you know, semi.
I mean, maybe if she was rubbing it enough during all the different takes, possible. Yeah.
But it intrigued me with the concept of button flies, though.
Yeah.
He had a button fly, and she just went right through it.
That's right.
Like, and she had the – so, Tim, people, please, God, tell me you've watched this movie. I love how they're drinking moonshine in the truck on the way to the next race. They get pulled over for some bullshit. It turns out the guy set up Cole after his first win with a prostitute, but – she's wearing a state trooper's outfit that is tearaway-able.
Yeah, it was Velcro.
Velcro?
It was Velcro.
I don't know if maybe the jackets are Velcro, but ooh, doggy. Yeah. I remember watching that scene on video probably. And then I had to make the kids turn their heads when we watched this over Christmas or New Year's.
Yeah.
But
it's also great.
Yeah,
oh, go ahead. No. There's a great line in that scene, and it's basically where, like, the head state trooper is like, you guys are being placed under arrest for illegal distribution of alcohol across state lines or something like that. And Robert Duvall said, I don't know about it. He's like, this is consumption, not distribution or something.
I don't know what this
like
looks
that.
Like to you, but this is consumption.
This is consumption, yeah.
Because they're drinking moonshine, which I didn't have moonshine until I was like 40. Or maybe
proper moonshine.
Yeah, proper moonshine. Like, I think I had a sip. I think one of our friends at UF, his dad's from Tennessee, and he came home with a flask of it one time, and it tasted awful. But I mean, it was in college. I mean, this is years later. You throw a Jolly Rancher in the jar and put it in the microwave, shake it up, and it's flavored. Yeah. That's how they flavor it in Mississippi.
There you go.
Ooh, doggy. That caused some interesting evenings on my behavior.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely sure.
I still have a jar somewhere, actually. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. But yeah, that was great. That was a great line. It kind of made me curious what the ins and insides and outsides of a NASCAR truck look like.
Yeah, I'm sure it's different nowadays.
Yeah, well, it's got to be.
You know, I'm sure the drivers are probably flying everywhere and most of the crew is. Then you have a different crew that just transports, you know, all the equipment and the vehicles. So, yeah.
But back in this movie, there was like an office.
Yeah.
A tiny little.
When I first saw this movie, I didn't realize they were in the back of a truck.
Or the front.
Or the front or right. Whatever.
Yeah.
Until they were pulled over.
Oh, I'm the same way.
Like I had no clue.
There is a TV going.
Yeah.
A TV in a car? Get out of here.
Man. It's got to be a generator in there somewhere, right?
They're running off the batteries, man. They got the probably had.
Yeah, those guys probably
hook
it up. I'm
not pretend like I have a clue what's going on. But they had that room where they were all just sitting there. And Buck Bretherton, played by John C. Reilly, famous for a shitload of. Oh my God, I forgot to mention John C. Reilly.
Yeah.
That guy's career took off.
Yeah.
Boogie freaking Nights, man.
Talladega Nights.
Step
Brothers.
Yeah, I mean he's a very, very funny guy. But he kind of had like a little side character in this.
No, and I think it may have been one of his first roles. He was extremely young in this, but he's a very diverse actor too.
Yeah.
Going from comedy and extreme comedy to being in this movie, also had a somewhat prominent role in Gangs in New York.
Yeah, that's right.
So, he's a very diverse actor.
definitely. There's a funny little moment where from the Oscars, I want to say about 15 years ago, Will Ferrell and Jack Black get up at the Oscars, and they're singing. They do a musical number called a Comedian at the Oscars is the Saddest Clown Around, because a comedian never wins an Oscar and all that shit, you know? And so John C. Reilly jumps up and is like, guys, he's like, you've got to, you know, take different roles. You know, he sings his lines too, but he's like, you've got to take different roles. He's like, that's why I did Talladega and Boogie Nights, you know?
Yeah.
They're both ended in the same nights is the funny little joke, but he makes a great point. I mean, this guy, you know, you look at his thing and it's like, one thing's a joke, one thing's hilarious, you know, one thing's serious. You know, there's an action movies and, you know, it's like, but man, I'm so sorry to say I forgot about Gangs in New York. I freaking love that movie. Yeah. That's a tough watch, but it's so good.
So I want to take it back real quick. We were talking about sponsors. Hmm. Do we have any sponsors?
You know who I was thinking that would look awesome on the hood of a NASCAR? How about Pandemic Sauce Company? Because this portion of Automatic Rewind is brought to you by Pandemic Sauce Company. Amidst a worldwide pandemic and lockdown with nothing but time on his hands, a friend of the podcast started experimenting in his kitchen to occupy his time. He soon discovered a knack of combining a variety of peppers with fruit juices to create some unique barbecue sauces. After sharing these sauces with family and friends, he has now decided to share them with the rest of the world in the goal to become your new favorite sauce. That's Pandemic Sauce Company, pandemicsaucecompany.com. Enter code Automatic Rewind at checkout for a discount. Yeah, I think Pandemic Sauce Company, he's got that logo of that doctor from the plague. It's part of his logo, as I recall. I think that'd be a sick hood. I don't know if he's got the capital to invest in that, but
maybe right now in a local, like a local derby.
Oh, hell yeah.
You know, maybe throw that thing on one of those, like when they do the school bus races.
Oh man, I love it.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic. And then from there you can just move on.
And what I think, you know how like sometimes when a guy or lady or gal wins a race and they spray champagne everywhere, they should dump pandemic sauce on themselves.
Pandemic sauce, just make sure it doesn't get in your eyes.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true.
Let it drain into your mouth. It's delicious, but don't let that shit get in your eyes.
It really is delicious. But he is now located in Louisiana, so I wonder. I mean, sure, there's plenty of rednecks doing some racing in Louisiana.
I don't think they're rednecks. I think they're coonasses.
Coonasses, excuse me.
Yeah,
I'm sure they have some rednecks.
Yeah, I'm sure. They got some transplants, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
Why not? Yeah, but Pandemic Sauce Company, pandemicsaucecompany.com. Enter code Automatic Rewind at checkout for a discount.
Before mentioning our fantastic sponsor, we were talking about John C. Reilly.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to say one thing about Cary Elwes, and I'm sure this will open up a Pandora's box.
Yes.
One, I don't even know if that's how you say his last name. Elwes, fantastic actor. Been in a million different things. The guy looks like walking death now. He's extremely pale.
Does
it almost looks like he puts on like makeup. He just like makeup and not like he's getting all dolled up, but it's just like if he put baby powder all over him, he's just like ghost white. He just doesn't look healthy, but he's looked like that for years now. So I don't know. He weirds me out when I see him not on screen.
Dang, man. I'm disappointed to hear that. I haven't seen him in quite a while, but did you see Saw, the first Saw?
Yeah, of course.
He sawed his foot off.
Yep.
Remember, he's like real pasty in that. After, I mean, you know, as one would be when you cut your own foot off. Does he kind of give that vibe, like that look?
No, it's even worse.
Even worse than cutting your own foot off, huh?
Yeah. He just doesn't look healthy. I don't know.
I hope he's all right.
I don't know.
We have mentioned this movie a number of times, well, at least once on this podcast. Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Yes.
He plays Robin Hood.
Correct. Fantastic.
Okay. I forgot how you felt about it because, you know,
it's
talk
Mel Brooks.
We did the Mel Brooks. Exactly. That's all you need to know.
We did Spaceballs. So
we did Space. Yeah. Oh, exactly. That's when we last talked about Cary Elwes and Men in Tights, which I mean, I love Men in Tights. I wouldn't mind using this as an excuse to watch it. So he was in the new Mission Impossible movie, which I haven't seen yet. Cary, okay. We're talking about.
All right.
He does things. You know, good for him.
Fantastic, and I believe it's called Kiss the Girls.
Kiss the Girls, yes.
Fantastic in girls. That movie.
You know, it's funny. Obviously, no one wants to mention Princess Bride because we don't want to sound like posers.
Oh, that's right. Of course, he's Princess Bride. Holy
Did
shit!
Did you really? No, yeah. No.
I don't care who you are. I thought you were Everybody playing... loves Princess Bride.
I think I know people who don't like it. I mean, okay. I think I know them, but I mean, I'm not related to them or anything like that. I don't go out in public and see them, but
they're not in our friend circle.
They can't be. I'll bet you Malt Liquor would claim he doesn't like it.
No, I think Malt likes it.
Does he
really?
He was
the only one that jumped in my mind that might not like it, but I think he likes it. I think there's enough comedy in it where he likes it. Like, I could see him, though, being like, Fred Savage, what the fuck? Fuck Fred Savage. But
you know what I think? I think there's a point where he probably watched it before he became jaded or whatever the malt liquor we know today.
He's a self-described asshole.
Yeah, but he's really not. You know,
no, like, I know he's
he
not.
He plays that character. He plays that character so well, like on the pod or on text, for example.
Right.
But
yeah.
In person, he's like one of the nicest guys I know.
Right. Yeah.
And that's why he is like so confounding. But that's why I'm like Princess Bride. He may love it.
Right.
He may hate it.
But in a text, if we bring it up, maybe.
He'd have some choice words, I believe. Words we would not repeat on even an explicit podcast. Oh, good. I mean, you know, it's funny. We mentioned like all these different people and all the movies they've been in, or at least some of the movies they've been in. We haven't even talked about Tom Cruise.
I know. I was just going to bring him up too, but go for it.
Well, it's silly to bring it up because he's been in so many movies. He's so well, he's like probably for a number of reasons, he's one of the most well-known actors alive today. He's in probably the best shape of any. He and Paul Rudd are probably competing for who looks better at, you know, certain decades.
Yeah.
You know, of ages. But like I am I'm a huge fan of the Mission Impossible franchise. The only one I don't care to ever see again is 2.
Okay.
I don't know why there just wasn't. I think Tandy Newton is in it.
Oh,
huge
yes,
fan.
Yes.
Huge fan of hers. But the movie itself just didn't do anything for me. I mean, even 3 was kind of silly. Loved it. And then they kind of raised the bar after each one. And that's when like he developed like that reputation for not only doing a majority of his own stunts, but the running thing and the, you know, like he became a cliche. He kind of owned up to that cliche almost, you know, like, but again, he did some, you know, he's known for doing like the stunts in the movies. His acting is fine. I mean, I think he's a good actor, you know, he's convincing.
Yeah, he's I'd say so. He did some running in this movie too. He races Harry Hogg a couple
at
times.
At the end.
But so I read this doing research on it. So he wanted to do, so they actually let him drive a actual NASCAR on one of the tracks. Tom Cruise came up with the idea of this movie.
Right, right.
Because of that ride, and you know, he got up to 175 miles an hour.
Oh yeah,
which is nuts. And he wanted to drive and do his own stunts. However, the studio was like, "No, we're not paying the insurance on that. That's dumb." But now he does his own stunts because he owns his own studio.
That's what it is. Okay,
so he doesn't care. So I don't think it was from a lack of not wanting to do it. It was there's an insurance issue here, and now he doesn't care because it's his studio.
See, I like that a lot. I like that, you know, I mean, the guy's got some weird religious.
His Zeebus are in a cluster.
Right. There's a lot of stuff on there that, you know, obviously I don't want the powers that be to block this podcast, but I find
they
a little
are powerful.
confounding.
They
I
are
find
powerful.
A little confounding, but you're right. He was racing with Paul Newman when that,
That's right. Yes. With Paul Newman. Cause he was buds from, what movie did they do together?
The Color of Money.
The Color of Money. That's what it was. Yes.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I'm a big Paul Newman fan. I know my dad thought highly of him too. My dad likes the racing and, you know, he kind of was the one that took us to the races down here. And I'm sure my mom always wanted to get a glimpse of Polly, but
of course, handsome man.
Of course he was.
Sure, handsome, handsome man.
I know.
But Tom Cruise, speaking of handsome.
Yeah, no, let's keep doing it.
I don't know how Mrs. Cuz feels about, but Mrs. Gus, I've never asked her about Tom Cruise. And on the rewatch, I was like, think he's sexy? And she was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Like, well, yeah. I was like, oh, well, you have a type because I'm a little bit taller than Tom, but not much. So
right.
She likes short white guys.
I think
that's her type.
I think you and I would tower over Tommy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tommy
absolutely.
Cruise. But he, no, the guy has, I mean, I'm just like jokingly sifting through his filmography. There isn't like a terrible movie on here. I mean, I didn't care for the mummy reboot they did. There was a lot of weird shit about it. Did you ever see The Edge of Tomorrow?
I did not.
I hate to say things like this, but I think you'd like it. I was skeptical as shit and I put it on. I think it was on Netflix or maybe, you know, something like that. I put it on and I was enthralled by this movie. And Emily Blunt is in it and she is phenomenal.
Yes, she
Bill
is.
Paxton's in it.
Fantastic.
Some of the smaller rolled characters whose names I don't remember are in it who are great. Did you ever see Cocktail?
Yes.
I love Cocktail. It gets a bad rep. I love it.
Elizabeth Shue.
It's hard to argue with Elizabeth Shue. I was actually just quoting it the other day. I could probably quote it all the time. I was sitting here trying to make water for my kid and I kept trying to throw the glass into the other hand. It was a plastic cup. Let's not freak out. And I was like, this is just like Tom Cruise in Cocktail. And I was like, oh, Jesus, you know, calm down, cuz. But there was one movie that came across my notes and I wanted. Oh, did you see the new Top Gun? Speaking of Top Gun.
I still haven't. I still have not.
Okay.
I haven't seen. So the last. I'm not going to tell you what the last movie I saw of Tom Cruise. I will after you talk about Top Gun.
Okay. Dude. Well, Top Gun Maverick. Yes. I liked it. It's very beat for beat similar to the first one, but knowing things about it, again, TC does a lot of his own stunts. They're actually in planes. And, you know, I mean, they seem absurd. And just when you think the movie's over, it's not. It's like, you know, there's a lot of positivity about it. Val Kilmer, I don't know if you know his current state.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't great.
Mm-mm.
But he has a little cameo in it, which is kind of tear-jerky a little bit, knowing the reality of the circumstances.
Right.
So anyways, but for some like crazy reason, I'm sure it has to do with family and all like this, I have not seen the new Mission Impossible and I really want to, because I've like I said, I mean, you know, like any doubt I had about Tom Cruise and like whether or not he would like still had it, that Top Gun movie cleared that up. So I don't know why I haven't like gone ahead and seen the new Mission Impossible. As I said, I enjoy the franchise. But tell me about, so what was the last one you saw?
So I was mistaken. I found another one that I did see. So since 2008. Since 2008, Tom Cruise has done 16 movies. I've seen two of them. The last one that he made that I saw was American Made. And I actually really like that movie.
American Made.
Yeah, it's a true story. It's about a commercial pilot who gets hired by the CIA to run guns down to the Contras. And then he gets mixed up in the drug trade. It's a really good movie. I liked it.
Yeah, that's actually, there's a couple movies with that similar, or at least the background of that. I guess that's,
yeah, well, this is based on
the
a true story.
Yeah. Okay.
Like he has his name and everything. Very, very good. But the movie I was thinking about, made in 2008, which I'm sure we will not cover on this. Maybe we will on this podcast. Not sure. Him playing Les Grossman in Tropic Thunder.
I know, right?
Oh, my goodness.
That's one of those movies. It can never be made again.
No, it can never be made again. But just his performance.
Oh, yeah.
Was unbelievable. And it's crazy. Like, I think Tom Cruise, and I'm looking through his catalog, and I can't believe how many movies that I love that I forget about.
Right.
Collateral, The Last Samurai,
yes,
Minority Report,
The
Vanilla
Firm,
Sky,
Few Good Men,
Firm,
Far and Away. I mean,
Jerry Maguire. Like, these are movies that are not, you know, Rain Man. I forgot he was in Rain Man. You know, it's just,
dude, I just want to read. Oh, go ahead.
No, and then you get into like his early 80s movies. Taps, yes. What a fantastic movie.
Right.
Risky Business.
The Outsiders.
Man, just
all the right moves.
Guy is a rock star.
Listen to all these movies in a row, okay?
Okay.
And you tell me if you have a better. I know no one likes Cocktails, so I'm going to, but it has to be in there, okay?
It's in there.
Okay. Top Gun, The Color of Money, Cocktail, Young Guns, Rain Man. Born on the 4th of July. Now, Young Guns was a cameo, but still, you know, he's that's so we can throw that one out. Rain Man, Born on the 4th of July, Days of Thunder, Far and Away, A Few Good Men, The Firm, Interview with the Vampire, Mission Impossible, Jerry Maguire, Eyes Wide Shut. And then Magnolia right after that. He did a music video. Mission Impossible 2, Vanilla Sky, The Minority Report. These are all in a row.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
The Last Samurai, Collateral, War of the Worlds was not bad. Mission Impossible 3. Now, I didn't see Lions for Lambs, so that's probably where my list should stop. But, I mean, like, these were all in a row.
Yes.
I mean, those are all blockbusters, except for this one, apparently. But, I mean, you know, like, as a cult following now. Tropic Thunder, Valkyrie. Did you ever see Valkyrie?
Didn't, but I want to see it because it's a true story.
Yeah, it sure
is. It's a true story. I want to see it.
Yeah. Colonel von Stauffenberg. About the attempted assassination of Adolf Hitler.
Klaus
von Stauffenberg. It's a good movie. I don't need to watch it more than I did. I didn't see Night and Day. He was in that, I think, with Cameron Diaz.
Cameron Diaz was in that one. Yeah, I didn't see it either.
No. Mission Impossible: Ghost Protocol. Very good. I didn't see Rock of Ages. Jack Reacher. Didn't think anything of it. Oblivion. Okay. Then he came back, thank God, with Edge of Tomorrow. I'm telling you, It kind of got panned a little bit, and then it blew up, like, popularity, I think, after it came to whatever, like, DVD. But there's another Mission Impossible, and then there's American Made and Mission Impossible. You know, it's just like...
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we don't need... I don't know. I don't know why we're S and Tom C's D, but still, I mean...
So I want to go back... Good. I want to go back to Tom Cruise's relationship with Nicole Kidman. So yeah. I started mentioning it. They did three movies together. They met... on Days of Thunder, they got married, and they did Far and Away and Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah.
So, pretty good run there for a married couple. Tying this back into Scientology, there's a rumor out there that the Church of Scientology set up this marriage because they were two powerhouses. I don't know.
She wasn't a Scientologist, though.
I thought she was, wasn't she?
No, she's Catholic.
An Aussie Catholic, huh?
Yeah. And apparently, allegedly,
okay,
because we're not getting sued on this podcast, there was a concern amongst the church about his relationship. And that had a lot to do with the relationship with the potential children. I don't know if they ever had kids, but
I don't think they did. No,
but you know, I mean, you know, it's well documented that he and Katie Holmes were together, and
Katie Holmes,
and she did not
turn
Scientologist.
She didn't capitulate.
No, and frankly, you know, hey, it's a religion. I mean, we're not here to besmirch religions on this podcast. So good for them. But I believe that had something to do with it. You know, the very real religion of Scientology just wasn't for these ladies. The very non-cult religion of Scientology was just maybe a little too by the book for these ladies.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
They I mean,
yeah.
They probably would have got married in Clearwater. That would have been awesome.
I know. I wonder how many times he's roaming around Clearwater.
He's got to have a place there, right?
I would hope so. It's a lovely, lovely town. And I think the Scientologists have done nothing but make Clearwater even nicer than it was before. And if they need a realtor.
Okay. So, they probably got that covered.
I'm sure you have to walk in that door, you know, the door, in order to become their realtor.
So what are some of your favorite scenes?
Yes.
Or lines.
Yes. So I always say I'm dropping the hammer to my wife, but she doesn't care because she drives faster than me anyways. But some of my favorite, let me just say this. His hair in this movie is borderline perfect. And when he's wearing, that like jean jacket, I think it's got
the collar popped.
The collar. That is up there. I love. Oh, you know what I say all the time? This is what I say all the time. Speaking of Fred Thompson, they're at that dinner when I think Fred Thompson, is he the president of the Daytona racetrack?
I think he's the commissioner in NASCAR.
Yeah, I thought so too, but I got some vibe that he's like, whatever, but you're right. I thought he was like the in charge of the next race or something. I don't know. It doesn't matter. He's definitely a big dog. Maybe he's the NASCAR guy, Big John. But he has this great line that he says to them. Basically, he says, they're going to treat it like a Japanese inspection.
Yes.
He says, so like when the Japanese, he doesn't exactly say this, get a piece of fruit that they, you know, like on their docks that they don't like.
Lettuce.
They put it on the lettuce and they'll get to it eventually. But by the time they get around to getting to it, it's rotted. You know, it's like nothing you can do. They just kick it over the side. And he's like, see, the blah, blah, blah. They treat it like a commodity, like YouTube monkeys, basically. He's basically saying that, like, and he explains what they're going to do. He's like, if you guys so much as trade paint in the next race, I'll black flag the both of you, take apart your engines. And if you can put them back together, maybe I'll let you finish the race kind of stuff. Basically just saying, like, you know, they'll just sideline them until their careers are over, or, you know, or at least they're, because that could take, like Rowdy said, I mean, one race could have ended his entire relationship with NASCAR as a driver.
Yeah.
It happened to be the Daytona 500. So I say that all the time. I always refer to things as a Japanese inspection. You know, I don't know why. It's just whenever the thing comes up. But, you know, how, you know, I love that line. And it's in the very beginning, but he's like, you know, he's riding Rowdy's car around Charlotte Motor Speedway. And he says something like, you know, nice car. And he's like, he goes, or Rowdy comes up to him and says, nice driving. He's like, now get your own car and see how you do in a crowd. Just yeah. Love it. And then, you know, there's a part where he and Rowdy are, you know, rent cars and they're driving down the beach in Daytona, which, by the way, is an homage to the old race, you know, the origins of racing, you know, organized NASCAR racing. They used to race on the beach in Daytona.
Yep.
So I thought that was a neat little thing. What about you, man? You got any moments?
Yes. So I'll give just a little context on some things and then give my moments. So the racing on the beach, it is an homage, but it also kind of happened between Dale Earnhardt and Jeff Bodine. It wasn't quite as dramatic. They didn't really go off. They weren't trading paint. They weren't driving on the beach or anything like that.
That's funny.
Also, the director, Tony Scott, he wanted them to drive through a flock of seagulls.
Yeah.
To, you know, kind of show how fast and dangerous they're going. All the birds will go up flying and everything. Well, apparently on the first take.
Yeah.
They killed a bunch of seagulls.
Right.
They didn't get out of the way. So there was that.
Because they seeded the beach.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
They would rather eat than, or they'd rather die than finish than stop eating.
That's right. Sounds like a seagull.
Yeah.
Yeah. So popular thought on this, not thought, the word's escaping me right now, but a lot of people think that Cole Trickle, Tom Cruise's character, is based off of Dick Trickle. He's actually not. He's based off of a character named Tim Richmond, who the
character or a racer?
No, he's a racer. Sorry. He was an actual race car driver. Kind of had the same thing as Cole. He was known to be a ladies' man, liked to have a good time, liked to drive fast. But he also started in sprint cars, just like Cole Trickle did. But Tim died at the age of 34 of AIDS a year before this movie was released. Also, Tim had his what do they call him again? The crew chief. His name was Harry Hyde. So Harry Hogg, Robert Duvall, and Tom Cruise's relationship was based off of Tim and Harry Hyde's relationship in real life. So that was pretty interesting how they did that. Some of my favorite lines. Well, my favorite montage, I guess, is before Cole and Harry have the talk about how to drive, and Cole's just out there driving. There is a scene where Harry goes out to him. It's in a pit stop, and Harry's like, "I want you to hit the pace car."
Mm-hmm.
And Cole's like, "What?" He's like, "You've hit everything else on this track. I want you to be perfect. Go out there and hit the pace car."
Hit the pace car.
Which I thought was absolutely hilarious. There's another scene within that montage where the whole pit crew is eating ice cream, and Harry Hogg tells him over the radio, "Hey, why don't you come in for some ice cream or whatever?" He was like, "What?" He's floored. That actually happened as well a few years before this movie was made, where during a pit stop, all the crew for, I can't remember who the driver was, they were all eating ice cream.
Right.
Because the guy was like doing so bad. Another great line that comes from Randy Quaid. I keep wanting to call him Dennis. Randy Quaid is when, I want to say it was after a fight between Harry and Cole during a race in the pit area. They go into an office and Tim, who is Randy Quaid, he goes, "We look like we're a monkey fucking a football out there."
Right.
It's just, I don't know. It's line. Just, it's a great line. Just very, very, very good. I know we discussed in the green room about Cary Elwes, his Eels. Character. What was his character's name again?
Russ Wheeler.
Russ Wheeler. About how Russ Wheeler's kind of a dick and kind of, you know, he's a young guy. He's really good. He's very cocky. But I noticed, and I think I noticed this before, but the first time when Russ Wheeler comes in to drive Cole's car while he's out hurt because of the crash, that Tom Cruise just blows him off.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see Russ Wheeler taking that like, "Oh, okay, you're kind of an asshole, so fuck you, dude." You know.
So you think he was triggered by that?
Yeah, I absolutely do. I think it was part of his narcissism, and that just enhanced it towards Cole Trickle. So
yeah, was he on the phone like trying to get in touch with Claire?
He called Randy Quaid and asked if he had any points of contact at the hospital in Daytona.
And he was just like, "Oh, hi, how you doing?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just kind of shrugged him off, blew him off a little bit.
Yeah,
there.
I mean, and like, I see what you're saying, but he's obviously our hero, so fuck Russ Wheeler. But I don't know. You're right. I think, you know, not knowing the backstory, I would be a fan of Russ Wheeler.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ruthless.
Young guy, fucking winner.
Totally. Yeah,
let's do it.
Chick's got let's a short it. Boy haircut. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That was popular in the late 80s.
And I did have a question. So when Dr. Lewicki and Cole Trickle head up to what's his name's farm?
Rowdy.
Rowdy Burns' farm. They're on a motorcycle.
Right.
And this neurosurgeon is not wearing a helmet. This brain doctor not wearing a helmet. I mean,
I don't think she would even have gotten on the motorcycle.
I don't
or
think
not.
She would have. No, no.
I mean, I presume if I were a neurosurgeon, I'd probably sleep in a bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Live in a bubble, knowing what the how precious the brain is. That's a great, great observation, man. Of course, I just let it go right by. I've got nothing against motorcycles. They're just not my cup of tea. So like, I can't imagine being on one for an extended period of time, you know?
Yeah.
Cause where did he get this motorcycle? Is it his motorcycle? They're in North Carolina, right?
Well, he lives in North Carolina.
Cole does?
Yeah. They're based out of Charlotte. He's always in Charlotte.
Oh, he's always based out of Charlotte. Okay. Yeah. So they may have driven it to. Still.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a farm. It's at least an hour plus away. I certainly ain't riding bitch on a motorcycle for an hour plus.
No.
Was she wearing her classic white in that? I'm not
sure.
I think she also
had a jean jacket on.
Yeah, I like that. So that's something funny that always kind of confused me a little bit, like why Cole would get sick watching Rowdy collapse.
Yeah.
As a kid, I didn't understand it. As I got older, I guess he was just
freaked out,
sympathetic and freaked out. Yeah. But that's a great line, too, where he hits the pool table with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
He's like, we can take you down to Daytona and fix your head, or we can fix it right here. And what's it going to be?
What's it going to be?
That's a great line.
Yeah.
There's
one last thing to that on my list.
Yeah.
So when Cole's first race, you know, this is where he doesn't know how to drive.
Right.
Do you know who the first car he took out was? He hit and took him out of the race?
No.
Richard Petty.
Oh, boy.
He took out the King.
Maybe that's why the King doesn't like this
movie. Maybe that's why the King doesn't like this movie.
Yeah. But. You know, it was crazy. Like, so his first year, when they finally figure out what's going on, and he got his first win on that kind of dangerous move of Harry's to let him slingshot.
Yeah, on the outside.
Treacherous corner or turn four.
Yeah, with matched tires.
Matched tires. And he says, well, nothing in particular. That's what he tells Jerry Punch. But then they get a sponsor and everything's fine. He won 5 of the next 6 races.
Yes.
Before the Firecracker 5400 or whatever.
That's right.
I mean, that's pretty freaking baller.
Yeah.
To win 5 races.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about it. I mean, do people win a shitload of races in a row in these days?
I don't know.
I don't know. But he's obviously very good. But then he gets injured at the Firecracker in Daytona. And then he misses some races, gets back in the car, but isn't the same.
Mm-hmm.
Gets fired for smashing into Russ Wheeler's car.
Yes.
They all get fired. And then none of the guys pick up a job in the off season.
I guess not.
And then weeks before Daytona, Rowdy asks him to drive for him.
Yeah.
Which I still don't understand. It's kind of like the end of Trading Places. Like, I understand shorting the stock market can make you money, but I don't exactly understand how they did it. Like, what was done? Like, how they... Like, did they have to do anything before that stock market opened that day? Now, and this is the similar situation. Like, why would Mellow Yellow or Exxon or whoever give Rowdy any money?
Correct.
And if it's somebody else driving his car.
And here's another question for that race. So, obviously, there's a problem with the engine.
Yes.
So Randy Quaid gives them an engine to use.
My understanding, yes.
But if this is... God, I already forgot his name. And you just said it.
Russ Wheeler? Rowdy Burns?
Rowdy Burns. If this is Rowdy Burns' car and Rowdy Burns is everything, wouldn't they have another engine or another car?
And also, let me ask you another question. Wouldn't Rowdy's car come with its own pit crew? Wouldn't it?
Maybe.
I don't know. Do they follow drivers? Do they follow like owners?
I think they follow crew chiefs.
Okay, but does that mean that Mellow Yellow, let's just say Mellow Yellow for argument's sake, because it was Exxon 4 months earlier.
Correct.
And now it's Mellow Yellow.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they have to approve all these decisions?
I don't know.
And, you know, it was cute earlier when Tim owned two cars.
Right.
The Hardee's car.
Yeah.
Made me hate Hardee's for so long. That and the fact that like one bite could give you a heart attack. But
yes.
The Hardee's car run by Russ Wheeler and the Superflow car by our hero, Cole Trickle. So it was cute if he had a spare engine then. But this is like way different. This is giving someone a rival car now. This is not, Tim is not going to see a dime of this winnings, right?
Yeah, I think though. So I was thinking about that when I was watching this last time, because they don't really say why he gives the engine to Cole. Mm-hmm. But I think what it is Harry Hogg did Tim a favor when Tim decided to start his own
team. Yeah.
By coming back and everything. So maybe
it's repaying the favor.
Repaying that favor.
And you know, he's got a racer I gotta believe Russ Wheeler came pretty high up in the final standings, right?
Yeah.
They've got a big name sponsor, Hardee's.
Yeah.
And I gotta believe he's doing pretty well for himself.
Yeah, I would think so.
So in those 4 months, he's probably got a couple engines lying around.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure they have spares, yeah, but I don't know why Rowdy Burns wouldn't have a spare.
Right, right. They found metal in the oil pan.
That's right. That's what it was.
And Harry designed that car, right?
No, not that one.
He didn't design that one?
Nope. He designed the city Chevrolet car.
He was just talking to the car, though, right?
That's right. He always talks to the car.
And that's when he saw the dripping?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, you know, obviously, I'm not trying to wrap this up, but I do like the ending where they have that sentimental moment.
Yeah.
You were talking about moments.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he kisses Nicole Kidman and gets, you know, her nice white suit dirty and her face all dirty. Her pale white face. She's beautiful. Pale white face, dirty. I think she is.
I wouldn't go to beautiful.
Here they go.
She's okay.
Every time I bring it up. So... But then the movie ends with the camaraderie between the two fellas, which I think is awesome. You get it? I mean, do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know. No, I do.
It's not like, see, when I was a kid, I used to roll my eyes at love stories, you know, kind of Fred Savage-y and Princess Bride about kissing book, you know, that kind of thing. So I was like kind of really happy when I saw like it was kind of like a, not a father-son type situation, because he definitely needs a dad.
Yep. Doesn't have one.
Of good influence. Well, I mean, he's got one, but he's a scumbag.
He's a scumbag in jail. And
yeah. I just think, you know, the only thing missing was like a story of like Buddy Bretherton being his son.
Yeah.
Like he's missing like the son he never had. Now he's got a son, you know, that kind of shit, you know, that would have been a little over the top, I think, with the father son nonsense. But we didn't really talk about the Buddy Bretherton, Buck Bretherton, Harry Hogg situation.
No, but before we get there.
Yeah. So, no, I'd like to stop.
So on the relationship piece, I'm going to ask you a question because it brought something in my head, but something popped up, and it's about something that our good friend who hopefully will be on the show very soon, Larry Borkesdorf. What he talks about. Oh my gosh. What's the name of the series? Takes place in Louisiana, down the bayou. Jodie Foster's in the new one.
Oh, True Detective.
True Detective. So Larry Borkesdorf, when a lot of people were disappointed with the end, how True Detective ended in the first season, he's like, it's not about the ending. The whole thing is about their relationship.
Yeah.
Good. Is this movie about Cole and Harry's relationship, or is it about Cole's journey?
Well, okay, I'll tell you this. I'll kind of pose a situation to answer this question.
Okay.
This is the classic movie where something would have happened to Harry. Harry dies.
Yeah.
And Cole wins one for Harry.
Yeah.
And it would have, I think, without a doubt, it would have been about his journey. Like Top Gun is about Maverick's journey. But given that Harry's up and running to victory lane, and they have their trials and tribulations, and they mimic a relationship, you know, communication, winning them over, a falling out, rekindling. It mimics a romantic relationship type movie, kind of like the way he exactly has a situation with Claire Lewicki, Dr. Claire Lewicki, the neurosurgeon.
Right.
But I mean, you know, I think Harry could get top billing, not just because he's Robert Duvall. Well, mostly because he'd be Robert Duvall. But and I think you're onto something about that. I like that. That's a great little theory you have there, friend.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just popped in my brain. I don't know.
Okay, good. So you haven't been.
I haven't been pondering this.
Sitting on that.
No.
No, I love it. I love it. I don't see why not. You know, I mean, why would it be any less about their relationship, especially the way it ends? You know,
yeah.
The closing literal freeze frame scene is of them running together.
Yeah. Rocky Three.
Rocky Three.
Or yeah.
Yeah, Rocky Three on the beach.
On the beach. Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't remember if it was two or three. Two.
Well, that wasn't the end of the movie, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Two's where they're sparring. Three is, yeah.
Well, two is when they have the rematch. Three is the run on the beach. The end is the sparring with the Eye of the Tiger. Remember the
They
punch each other, and then the
that's
camera
right. Yeah,
it turns into a watercolor, and then it backs out into it's an Eye of the Tiger. It's wild, man.
Yeah.
And then Rocky IV starts like immediately after that, because he shows up with a shiner.
Yeah.
That mansion with that fucking robot scared me when I was a kid. Anyways. Communist. So
happy birthday, Polly. Sorry.
Happy birthday, Polly. Hey, what is this thing? This thing's intense. Anyways, okay. Yeah. So that's a great question. But I think it's acceptable either way, but I think the way, like, I mean, I think you're damn right about that, especially the way they end it, you know?
Yeah.
It's fabulous. And I mean, I guess I was kind of on that same track. I'm not saying I came up with the same theory, but just, you know, like how much I love that relationship they have, you know? It's so cool.
Yeah.
Anyways, so what are we talking about right before then?
I don't know. You're gonna make a point, and
No. That was a way better point.
I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
What were we talking about?
Nah, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Harry Hogg and Tommy Cruise. That's a funny name.
So, what else you got on this?
Golly, I'm trying to think if I had some other little. He shows up on a Harley Davidson Fat Boy,
yeah,
with a duster jacket, a little ostentatious, but.
And then, when he shows up, they're like, "Where's he from?"
And oh
like,
yeah,
California.
Yeah.
So he's a Yankee.
Well,
he's not really anything.
Yeah,
you said it. You said it.
I love how Harry is so dismissive of the whole situation. He's like, look, I'm not going to let you drive this car.
Yeah.
He's got cold feet. He needs a name like Exxon or Richard Petty. Yeah, no, I think that my general thought, I don't know. Do you have any like wrap up thought? I don't want to wrap up necessarily, but I mean, do you have any like just overall thoughts about this movie? I think mine is well documented, and there were not I didn't have your exact point that the movie is about the relationship, but that's the part that's made me the happiest, you know, like how it he gets the girl, but that's not the most important thing, you know.
Right. Yeah.
So
no, you know, for me, I like this movie.
Yeah,
but I wouldn't. If it's on, I may or may not watch it.
Sure.
One of those. But if someone put it on, I would watch it.
Right.
But I'm not seeking it out. I'll also say this, though. Like, I've always felt that way about this movie. I've never... It hasn't changed, right? It hasn't been, like... It hasn't been Raiders, right? Where Raiders would be was just like, oh, man, like, why did I watch this? Like, I enjoyed watching it on the rewatch. It was great.
Yeah.
It has really good scenes. It has a lot of action. So, no, I think the cast really does it for me. I really love this cast. It's a fantastic cast.
I feel like this cast could be placed in like an epic. Like, what is the one we just fucking talked about with Daniel Day-Lewis?
Gangs of New York.
I mean, like, not that movie. I just mean the names we listed, you know?
Yeah.
This movie could... I mean, this cast, rather, could be placed in another movie that is either epic, dramatic, thriller, comedy, anything, you know? And they would all just kill it, knock it out of the park. I really believe that. I like this movie. I don't mean to hijack what you just said. I like this movie. I do seek it out. I can't watch it every day or every week. You know, it's got to be once a year kind of thing for me, maybe twice a year. I've already watched it twice this year, but there are just certain parts I just love, like the beginning scene, the montage of where Harry's teaching him how to race, you know, as Richard Petty would say, teaching him nothing.
Right.
I get so, you know, like I'm kind of like a wuss, you know, like the huge accident and the aftermath kind of bothers me. But then I'm also like sitting there going, just get over it. You know, like,
yeah,
the way he burns out his engine and stuff. And like, you know, is like scared to race.
Drive right through it, Cole.
Yeah. I know it in my heart, son. Where he tells him he can go through.
Yeah.
And that's great. You know, and that's actually, and like, God, that totally mirrors where, like, you know, he's saying, talk to me, goose. You know, and he's not talking. And then as soon as he gets through that accident, he's on the radio, he's on the comms, you know, and just like in Top Gun, as soon as he just something happened, snapped him out of it, he's talking to everybody. He's, you know, he's shooting down MiGs, he's high fiving Iceman. I mean, you know, so, but, yeah, I mean, like, I mean, I see exactly what you're saying, but this movie, like, you know, and it's so silly. Like, I'm a you know, like, I get stimulated by certain things, and like the colors, the sounds, you know, like, I mean, like, even his beautiful, like, he's got that beautiful hair of his, yeah, you know, and it's just so funny to me. Like, I'm just like, man, this guy is so cool, you know. 45 years old, but he rolls up in that jean jacket. I'm like, hell yeah, jean jackets are back, man. I mean, probably not, but
you know. Canadian tuxedo.
Anyways, overall, I really, really enjoy it, but this is definitely like a few and far between watch. You know, like I said, I could watch this once a year and I could just be just fine. It hurts me to say that I've learned nothing about racing by watching it, but, you know, I trust Richard Petty.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. So I think that's going to do it for this episode. It's awesome. Number 11. It was a great rewatch, as I said, but cuz, where can people find us?
Well, it's so funny you ask. I know it's been so long. I haven't had a chance to even think about things like this, but you can, check us out on the platform you're currently listening to us, because give us a positive rating, like, subscribe on that platform and all platforms. And let's be honest, everybody listening loves a movie, and you know someone who loves a movie. So why don't you like, subscribe, and share this episode and other episodes with just one friend. That's what I was doing all Christmas break. I was telling everybody about this. You know, every time I see someone new, I go, I do a movie podcast, buddy of mine. Oh yeah, by the way, just drop that name, automatic rewind.
Awesome. Well, for Cousin Bailey, I'm Gus, and we will see you soon. We're out.